Hello.
And
welcome to Pop Culture Junkies.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Michelle. It's a little weird getting back into the swing thing.
I know. We took a little break.
Yes.
We're kind of rusty.
Yes.
There was a holiday.
There was. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was non-existent. I was flying home on Thanksgiving. Right. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. We all were at my parents' house. My dad insists the turkey tasted like soap, so he complained all night.
Yikes. Damn.
But it was good.
Okay, so that was maybe a miss for him, but...
It was a miss for him.
No one else knew what he was talking about?
No one else. Nobody else in the family really likes turkey, though.
Oh.
So we were like, whatever.
I saw the Thanksgiving episode of Bob's Burgers. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, yes. So Bob is, like, he gets a turkey from some, like, fancy turkey farm or whatever. Like, his name gets called in a lottery, and
he gets
the turkey. And then the day of Thanksgiving, he goes to cook it, and, like, their gas is out on their oven or whatever. So he's trying to figure out how it's possible for him to cook the turkey for Thanksgiving. And he can't go to Teddy's house because Teddy's gonna go to see his family and he's getting his house fumigated or something. And like he can't go to more, I forget, like there's all these reasons why he can't go to anyone else's house. So then he looks online and he figures out that if he makes like a pit fire.
Oh my god.
So he does that in the alley and he's trying to get the kids and everyone to start collecting firewood for the fire. And Louise is like having the time of her life. She's like, you mean I can get anything to burn?
Oh god. Yes, Louise. Anything.
So then at the end, he ends up getting the turkey cooked and they start eating it and they're like, oh my god, this is the best turkey. And I was like, I can't relate. I don't mind turkey. I like turkey sandwiches, but I've never been like, wow.
No, I never have either. I'll eat turkey, a little turkey on Thanksgiving, and generally one day of sandwiches. And then I'm like, I don't want to look at your turkey again.
Yeah.
Can we have something besides turkey? Somebody on Twitter was asking if anybody's having an obscure turkey dinner or Thanksgiving dinner, and they said they were having prime rib. And I'm like, I'm coming to your house.
Seriously. Invite me for that.
That's right. A turkey.
Yeah, no, I had like airplane food. And then...
did they serve Thanksgiving?
They did not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
cheap bastards.
So when I got back into town, it was literally Thanksgiving Day, and we were driving home from the airport, and I was so hungry. And so I asked my stepdad if we could maybe stop somewhere, like I could get a salad even, like I just didn't care. And
is there anything open?
No.
I was like, there's nothing open?
Yeah, I passed by shop after shop, and it was like empty. So I ended up just going home, and he made me some eggs.
Aww. He didn't even make Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
Oh my gosh.
There for it either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Could have come to my house.
Could have. Now we know.
That's right. Soap turkey, girl.
And I don't think my mom, she was on a different flight than I was. So I got in at like, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon on Thanksgiving. And she got home at like 7 or 8
p.m.
And she wasn't like upset about missing Thanksgiving dinner either. Obviously, because every year she usually like throws out, like she is
a ton of food.
Insane. Yeah. But this year I asked her if she was upset about missing Thanksgiving since we were in London, and she was like, no, actually I don't, because it's a holiday that isn't fair to the indigenous in our country, so I don't mind missing it. And like she got super sassy about it.
I can hear her. That was cute.
Yeah, so we just did not have Thanksgiving.
How was London?
London was so fun. You know how sometimes you go on trips and you, for the end, are like, yeah, I can't wait to get home and get back to my bed?
I'm that way with every single trip I've ever been on, yes.
I did not feel that way this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Spending a week there was just not enough time. I definitely would have stayed there longer and would have enjoyed it. It was like just right, but it was like not long enough because there were things that we got to see brief glimpses of that I would have loved to go back and like explore it even more in depth.
Did it rain every day?
No, it didn't.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So
I saw your first pictures was a rainy day.
Yeah.
I started laughing.
Well, so it's like a 7-hour time difference, right? And the first day that we woke up in London, my mom and I didn't set an alarm or have any specific plans. We were just going to do something that evening. So I rolled over in bed and I was like, we should probably get up now. And my mom's like, what time is it? And I look at the clock and it's 11 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
So we got up and we decided that since our hotel was directly overlooking the Tower Bridge, mm-hmm. that we would go walk the bridge and kind of explore the neighborhood and get some lunch. So we did that, and it was sprinkling and gray and kind of overcast a little bit. And I had an umbrella that I brought with me, and like the umbrella was like, it kept getting turned out.
Oh no.
So I was looking around and I was like, everybody else is just wearing like hoods, like they're having their jacket hoods over their heads. So I just need to like invest in that, basically.
Right.
But there was one morning that we woke up, we decided to take a hop-on, hop-off bus tour of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that was leading that bus tour, she commented because it was so foggy, like that sort of stereotypical London fog.
Right.
And she was like, I haven't seen it this foggy in 14 years. And we were like, cool! We were not turned off by any of that, like, at all. Yeah, so the one thing that my mom was super excited about seeing was the Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So the hop-on...
Big Ben Parliament.
Mm-hmm. The hop-on, hop-off bus tour took us there, and Big Ben right now and all of Parliament are literally hidden behind scaffolding. Like, they're doing all these renovations.
Well, that sucks.
So you can see, like, the clock face, but that's it. Like, you cannot see the building around it. So my mom thought it was, like, cool at least that we were there. And then the other big, like, thrill on her list was to see the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace.
Right.
So we went and did that, and I was looking up the details online. Like, it's a 45-minute changing of the guard ceremony. Like, there's these whole, like, traditions that they have where it's, like, the foot soldiers walk over, and then the cavalry rides over from a different one.
Oh, my gosh.
And the band marches over with them, and there's, like, drills and, like, all this stuff. And, like, it's a 45-minute process of different things that are happening. And then when they're in the front yard of the palace, like, you're basically just staring at them through the gates while they're doing these like formations whatever. And like, my mom was here for it. I was bored, but
yeah, no, 45 minutes would bore me too.
Yeah,
I would like walk faster, guys.
And it was also one of those things where like everybody's pressed close together because they're trying to see through the fence.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've never had this many like hands on my butt at one time. And then my mom was getting irritated because she was trying to film all of it on her iPhone, but she had her iPhone on her selfie stick. So it was like extended through the fence to try and get the best angle.
Mm-hmm.
So she was getting really irritated because there was like a mom and a daughter right behind us, and they were speaking to each other in French. So my mom's like, everything that they were saying is probably all that you're gonna hear on the video now. It's just gonna be like this really nice ceremony and then just two women speaking French behind us the whole time.
And they're probably saying a bunch of bad words, and you're gonna post that video and somebody's gonna be like, oh my gosh. Do you know what they're calling you?
Right.
Stupid American with their selfie stick.
Yeah, so that was, I don't know, it was funny. And then my bucket list was I wanted to walk in Shakespeare's footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
So the first night that we were there, we went to see a play at the Globe Theater, and it was Richard III. It's like all of Shakespeare's original play, but they switched it up so it was a woman in the lead role.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they were also wearing modern clothes. So there's a guy who's like kind of like the assassin in the play. He's wearing like a black trench coat, and he's got like his bag with like plastic tarps and stuff like that. Like, it was just so cool.
That's awesome.
So one of the first things that I noticed is the way that the playhouse is set up, like it's basically that sort of like half circle around the stage area.
Uh-huh.
And so we were on like stage right, basically right up against the railing. So when they would exit the stage in front of us, like there was one part where this lady like burst through the tarps, the actress, and the tarp like almost hit the people beside me in the face. Like, that's how close we were.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Though.
And then they had like, this is like weird to notice, but like they had candles with open flames on the stage as the lighting. And I was like, this place is made of wood. Like, this is weird.
Right. You don't burn to death, but you died watching Shakespeare.
Right. Totally worth it. So we like went, we found our seats, and the way that you know what your seat is, your seat number is like in the wood on the floor at your feet. So okay. I was like totally charmed, like having the best time before the play even started. So then they go into the play, and the play, like, was so well performed. And the lady that played Richard III, she is an evil person as the character, but she personally, like, had so much charm that you kind of liked her.
Right.
So it was, like, so good. And then there's this part where, like, you can tell Richard III, he's kind of going crazy. And they had these, like, four hanging candelabras with candles, like, lit candles in them.
Mm-hmm.
So then they kind of start, like, swaying, like, lifting up and down and swaying. So you can kind of, like, envision how he's going mad.
Right.
And it was just, like, it gave me chills. Like, I loved it. Every part of it. I was there for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
It was so good.
And you saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Yes. Did you read that when it came out?
I did.
As a book? Okay. Yeah. I did, too. And there were certain parts that, like, I didn't really remember from reading it when it came out. But I was, like, I don't care that I've already read it. Like, this is going to be really exciting. So, basically, the play is 5 hours. The first part is 2.5 hours with an intermission in the middle, and then you take like about a 2-hour break in between, and you come back for the second part, which is also about 2.5 hours with an intermission. And like your butt hurts from sitting in your chair for 2.5 hours, but like you're totally riveted to what's happening.
Right.
It's basically like Harry Potter, Ginny, Ron, and Hermione. Like they're all adults now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Hermione in the play, because J.K. Rowling was so intricately involved with producing the play, Hermione is black. Like she was supposed to be.
Right.
They do like all of these scene changes where they're switching out everything that's on the stage. It's basically stagehands that are wearing their black wizarding robes.
Well, that's cool.
So they walk out and like they might grab a chair and they're taking it off stage, but they kind of like flip the end of their robe, and it's just like so cool.
That is cool.
And throughout the play, like one of the things is that Harry Potter's son finds a time turner. Spoiler alert. So every time they did the time turner, which was like 6 or 7 times throughout the play, I don't know how they did it, but it's almost like you could visually see time turning. Like you hear this deep bass beat, and it's almost like you're watching it ripple toward you, like across the stage coming at you. And like, I don't know, it's like a wave of light and sound. I can't explain it. It was so, it like blew my mind every time it happened.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the first part, where before you go to like take your break and get dinner or whatever, also spoiler alert, there's this part where, have you ever seen the Phantom of the Opera performed in person?
Yes.
You know how like it blows your mind when the huge candelabra comes down, it comes over the audience?
Right, yes.
Okay, this was the end of the first part of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. The Dementors start chasing them and they're coming over the audience.
Oh my gosh.
I had this feeling like, oh my god, I'm really gonna die. Like, the Dementors are gonna get me.
Girl.
I didn't have my wand, Michelle.
Oh. What kind of a wizard are you?
I, like, my heart was beating so fast. Like, the Dementors were, like, flying right above us over the audience. And I was like, I'm going to have a heart attack right now. Like, this is so frightening. It was awesome. So, by the time the night was over, like, I had gone there by myself. My mom's not really into Harry Potter, so I didn't make her buy a ticket. But, like, the people that I was sitting with, like, we were basically, like, new friends by the end of the night. Like,
well, that's cool.
Yeah. They were giving me tissues because I cried, like, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
It was just so good. It was just so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted to take my nieces to see it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would have to do it over the 2 days because I don't think the girls would be able to. I mean, they're 14. Oh. I don't think they could handle
a full day of it.
5 hours.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, they'd both be like, no. I would probably be wanting to kill them by the time it came around too. So
that's probably true.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is what I hope to one day do, is to take them.
Yeah. I think it's totally worth it. I would go again, and I don't care. Like, I was happy to sit there by myself and enjoy it.
Right.
And then in the playbook, you have to pay there for your playbills, which is a little bit different than here in Phoenix, where you just go to Gamage and they give it to you automatically.
Right.
So it's only like £5. You get your playbook. And then in the playbook, like, I was flipping through it, and it had a QR code for the Wizarding World app.
Oh, cool.
So I'm sitting there, like, trying to scan with my app the QR code, and like the lighting is like non-existent.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody was looking at me like I was trying so hard, and then finally it came through and it unlocked different things in the app that you can look at.
Oh, Okay.
So then everybody was like trying to look over my shoulder and like see it too.
And you're like holding your phone. No, you mocked me.
I'm like, download your own app. No, I'm just kidding. Right. No, I was a Hufflepuff and I let them look.
Of course you did.
Yeah, so it was just, I don't know, like it, both of those plays just blew my mind. Like I was having such a good time.
My niece, by the way, was sorted into Hufflepuff Kaylee.
Yay!
She's very sad about it. She does not want to be a Hufflepuff.
That's all right.
She wants to be a Gryffindor so bad. No. She said, are you serious? Is that what it really says? And I showed it to her and she's like, oh. Then I'm sorry. If you want to be a Gryffindor that bad, you can be a Gryffindor.
There
no,
you go.
No, I'm just going to be what it says I have to be.
Poor thing.
I know. It's like, oh.
That's okay.
When she started answering the questions, it was all Slytherin. It was all the dark side of everything. And then she started changing them up. Some, but I'm like, she comes out Slytherin. She's probably going to start crying.
Uh-oh. Yikes. So that was a turning point in her life, probably.
It was a turning point. Now she's like, now I'm stuck as a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, I saw a little girl at the play who was wearing her wizarding robes, and I was so jealous. I was like, damn it, I wish I had enough room in my suitcase that I could have brought my robes over.
Right, you would have. I can totally see you.
Yeah, but it was just a good time. And then, so my mom and I did a tour out in the countryside. So we went to see Windsor Castle.
Nice.
We went to see Stonehenge, and then we went to see Bath. So that was basically like a 12-hour trip at the end of the day. We ended up getting home late. But my mom really loved like walking around the state apartments at Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
I guess you're not supposed to take pictures or film video in there. So I was like secretly snapping away.
Of course. Stephanie is a rule breaker at heart, guys. She feels guilty afterwards, but yeah. She is a rule breaker.
Like it's not their fault that they're not paying attention to me right now. I'm just going to take pictures of like insane amounts of like art, and they have armor everywhere and intricate high ceilings like with all this like intricate filigree and like all this crazy stuff. So I was like just in awe. We didn't have enough time to really like stop and look, so we were kind of like snapping our heads back and forth trying to like see everything all at once. When we went to Stonehenge the trip before I had gone there, someone had told me like Stonehenge isn't that interesting, like you're gonna get there and you're gonna want to leave. But I didn't really feel that way. Like, we had about an hour and a half, I think, to listen to the audio tour that they gave us on headphones and to kind of, like, walk around and take pictures. I think they were doing some maintenance in the fields around the stone. So you could do, like, a semicircle around them, but you couldn't actually circle them in a whole 360.
Right.
So my mom and I were, like, loving it. Like, we were really interested in all of the history about it. And this is, like, the third time that I've gone on a trip with my mom, and like I feel like whenever we go to a museum or see anything like historical, like she surprises me because we'll be there for hours and we're both like super interested in all the history and the facts about it. And like normally I don't think that she would be that person, but she totally is when we get into the environment.
That's awesome.
So I can see where my brothers get it from and like why they're history channel buffs. So then the last part of that trip was to see Bath, and so we went to the Roman Bath there, and we ended up getting separated somehow, but we like individually were walking around all the history, and they have some areas where they've got monitors set up and they've got recreations of what it would have looked like if it was still intact. So just like all of that was like super fascinating.
Yeah,
loved it. And then I think the next day I went to Dublin for my day trip there. I went by myself, and that was like the second day that I had to get up early because the first day we had gone on our Stonehenge tour.
Yeah.
And then that day I had to get up early and go hit a 6:30 flight. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea.
So you could have more time in Dublin.
I did want more time in Dublin, but it was just like torture getting out of my warm bed.
I can bet. Yeah. I don't do good in the mornings either.
Yeah. So basically I did this hop on hop off bus tour of Dublin, and part of the package was the transfer from the airport. So you just get on the bus and they take you into Dublin city center. And then you can like basically take those buses all over the place. So that morning it was so frigidly raining, and the wind was like torrential. So I was like, I'm just gonna sit on the bus, like
yeah, until I can
stay out of this.
Somewhere I can go inside. Yeah.
Like the bus windows were like steaming over and like it was just so frigid that morning. But once it cleared, like it was perfect. It was so pretty in Dublin. And again, I was like, yep, not enough time.
Yeah, no.
But I kind of like saw some different sites. Like I went to this cathedral there and I did some exploring of some of their statues, and they have bridges over the water that you can kind of just walk up and down and like check out the buildings. Yeah. And all the history that is in one place is insane. And then in the afternoon, I did a walking tour of the city, and the person that led our tour, like he took us to a bunch of different interesting places. There's like a neighborhood in Dublin called the Temple Bar area, and it kind of went under like a renovation when they decided to film Far and Away there.
Okay.
So they were like, actually, this is a pretty good place for filmmaking. So then they started turning it into like a filming hub.
Okay.
And they convinced U2 to invest in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So U2 owns like almost all the property basically in the Temple Bar neighborhood.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then also they have like a little college, like a arts college there now. So all these kids that are going to that college, they're learning about filmmaking, and then they get to actually work on the films that are coming to that neighborhood. So it's
that's
like,
cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. I also took a tour of the Trinity College and the Dublin castle. And the whole reason why I wanted to go on this like Book of Kells tour was because I knew it was going to go to the Trinity College library, and that's all I wanted to see.
It's like, give me the books.
Yeah. So when I got there, the lady was like, oh yeah, we're just waiting for a few more people, so hang tight and we'll get started shortly. Well, nobody ended up showing up, so it was just me and the tour guide.
Oh, well, hey.
Yeah, and like she was super excited about like her tour that she was giving. She knows all about the history of the Book of Kells, and she was like able to talk about like the importance of it and how the artists that did it, they were able to create even just like the ink and the paper for the Book of Kells and like all this like intricate detail like that. And so it was interesting, like the history nerd, I guess, part of me was like, wow, this is really fascinating. And the other people that were taking their own like personal tours around the area, they were like clearly coming over to like listen in and hear what my tour guide was saying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was super cute. And then she was like, all right, well, now that I've shown you some of like the background on the Book of Kells, we're gonna go up into the college library where it's actually showcased. And I was like, oh, okay.
If you insist.
If you want.
Oh, okay.
So then she's like, yeah, by the way, are you a fan of Star Wars? And I was like, kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
So she's like, yeah, once we go upstairs, you know, we're in the Trinity College Library, you might recognize that this is the outline of it. It's exactly like the Jedi temple. Oh. And I was like, oh, you don't say.
Let me go and look for myself. I am a Padawan.
Right. So she takes me up and I was like stunned, like so excited.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was I think like if you saw my face, you would be like, this is like a 5-year-old on Christmas morning.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so she sort of walked me around and talked to me about the history of the library, and she showed me the actual Book of Kells. Uh-huh. In the display case that it's in. And then she's like, yeah, so up next is our tour of the Dublin Castle, but if you want a few minutes, I can leave you here to kind of explore the library on your own. And I was like, okay.
Dismissed.
So I think I spent like 20 more minutes just like walking around, taking a million pictures.
Yeah,
like just
that's awesome.
Soaking it in. It was so cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so then I was like, oh, I kind of forgot about the Dublin Castle thing. Like, I just wanted to see the library. But...
Right. Yeah, can you just come back and pick me up after?
Right. So we walked over to Dublin Castle. And, like, compared to Buckingham and compared to Windsor Castle, Dublin Castle is, like, boring. Like, there's nothing really to see there. It kind of reminded me of the scene in The Princess Bride where she's being introduced to the kingdom and they're booing her.
Right.
Like, it kind of reminded me of that center area within the castle. But other than that, like, it's nothing really to see. But she was telling me, like, as we walked in, you can see to the right, there was like an open archway that you can't walk through. But she's like, do you see that fencing in there with the pikes? And I was like, yeah. She goes, that's where they would have hanged the heads of traitors.
Oh, okay then.
And I was like, wow, this escalated quickly.
I don't think I want to go in there.
So she was like, if you would have stood in this exact spot and you turned your head over to the right, you could see traitors' heads on those pikes. And so she was like, there was a man, and I forgot already the history of it, but basically he had to come to the castle to sign a treaty of compromise, and his son's head was on one of the pikes, so he would have looked over as he's signing it and seen his son. And I was like, oh, you just gave me chills. Like, yeah, it's so crazy.
I'm like, there will be no treaty.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, get my son's head down.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, just like all the history of that. And then, like, she was talking about the Vikings and how they were there. And just, I don't know, it was like so much interesting and really like fascinating stories that we just can't relate to in such a young country.
Right.
You know, they're like talking about buildings that are older than our country.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, I probably could have done like a million more things and had the time of my life. But after it was like all said and done, I finally convinced my mom to stop calling it a once in a lifetime trip. I was like, I don't like hearing you say that. So then she started calling it a trip of a lifetime.
There you go.
Which I thought was better.
That's better.
Yeah. So I would go there again in a heartbeat and spend more time.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't have as much fun as you, so my reason for us needing to be on hiatus is that I had to have surgery, remove some cancer tumors, and I joked with my doctor the day when he came in to talk to me, I'm like, can you go ahead and just take my appendix out while you're at it, because I don't want to hear down the line, you know what, your appendix has to go also, give me a little lipo, you know, just take care of everything.
Yeah, a little nip, a little tuck.
He's like, that's not how this works, I'm just going to go in there
and do what I have to do.
A couple of tumors out, check your ovaries, blah blah blah. When I woke up, they're like, so you had this and this and this done, your appendix is now gone. And I'm like, dude, he did do what I asked him to do. But no, I had a tumor along my appendix, and he had to take my ovaries that I still had because they had tumors on them. And a piece of my colon, and then pieced my colon back together. It was all thrilling stuff that he's telling me. Every time a nurse would come in and have to tell the other nurse what had happened, it was like this huge list of things.
Oh, jeez.
And they're just like, eh, she had this and this and this and this and this and this and this done. And they're like, oh my God. So, but he decided that our next step is chemo, which I start on the 16th for 6 cycles. Which isn't bad overall. It should be done by the end of April. But, yeah. Still a little overwhelming for me to think about.
Right. And, understandably.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And for your family to think about.
Exactly. My niece, my sister doesn't always tell the kids a lot of things. So when she did finally tell the older two what was going on, my niece was very upset and didn't want to speak to her because she hadn't been told. And my brother has some health things going on also. So she was really upset to find out that there was things going on that they didn't know about. And she still hasn't really said too much to me when I see her.
Your niece?
Yeah. My other niece, they asked me, the Sammy, the 4-year-old, says, what's wrong with you? And I says, well, I had surgery. And she says, well, my dad had surgery, too. And I says, well, I know. And he says, you know, when they took some things out and then they, you know, they stapled me back together. And she's like, she's staring at me with these huge eyes. And she says, like a stapler like we have? And I'm like, well, it's a doctor stapler. And I was like, do you just want to see the staples? And her eyes got even bigger, and she's just staring at me, and she's looking around the room. And she goes, no.
She's so sassy.
I'm like, well, all right then. Quit asking me what's happening. But they are pretty determined that I had them done with a house stapler, an office stapler, and they were just going to get staple pullers and pull them out.
Your four-year-old niece is never going to look at a stapler the same again?
No, she's going to be like, you could staple somebody back together that way.
Hopefully she doesn't try to have surgery on someone.
I know.
But we're not going to let my nephew come play with her for a couple weeks.
No, no. Some other little boy beat her up the other day, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was my grandnephew. He just kept picking on her and beating up on her. And we're like, Sammy, why do you keep letting these little boys beat you up?
Did she have an answer?
No, she didn't.
Aw.
She was just like, whatever.
She saw a bark and no bite.
Pretty much. A loud bark, that's for sure. Yeah. So that's my fun stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not going to affect our recordings.
We'll make it work.
It's every 21 days, and I guess that first week, you're okay for half the week, and then he said I'll probably be so exhausted I don't want to do anything for the rest of the week. And then I have 2 good weeks before we start all over again.
Yeah.
So 4.5 hours every third Monday.
Well, it's going to be like, obviously, a change in your lifestyle, but it's going to keep you around longer, which is important.
Exactly. So
we'll just make it work.
I'm still trying to come to terms with it. So
yeah.
I'm okay with most of it. Most of it. I have to have this port put in. They keep talking about I have to numb it before I go in, and then they'll shoot something into it when I get there, and I just keep staring at her like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you supposed to numb
about this stuff? They called me and I have all kinds of medications called in.
Oh.
I have to numb it before I go in.
They're going to prescribe you whatever to numb it with?
Yep.
Got it.
So I'll numb it before I go in, and like when they just shoot it into me.
Well, if you thought that you were sick of having your blood drawn before, I'm sure it's going
to
be like
The reason they did this, they're putting this port in under my clavicle, is so I don't have to have it done in my arms again. They blew my veins in the hospital. Right arm was about 3 times the normal size, and it was just ice cold, and my vein was huge and popped out.
So yikes.
They're like, we need to stop taking a... blood through an IV for you.
Okay.
I'm like, that's good because my arm hurts.
Well, I was thinking about you like during the whole surgery and hospital stay, and I was like, you think that Michelle might get like a little bit of luck and maybe she'll have like a cute doctor or something?
No. In fact, my on-call doctor, the hospital doctor, I had surgery on Wednesday. He came in, it was probably about 6 a.m. on Thursday, and says, well, you're going home today. I said, I have a port in my side. I'm still on a catheter. I haven't been able to sit up, period, without wanting to throw up. Yeah, I don't think I'm going home today. I says, my doctor told me I'll be here until Saturday or Sunday. And he said, well, he's the boss, but I have that you're going home this afternoon. I'm like, whatever.
Think again, bro.
Every day. I went home Saturday. He came in Thursday. He came in twice on Friday and Saturday morning. He's finally like, I spoke to the doctor and you can go home. And I'm like, well, alrighty then. Quit trying to kick me out of the hospital.
Seriously.
And the other, my male nurse at night, he was obnoxious. And he was rude.
Oh.
He was rude about a lot of things.
Lame.
Yeah. So no, I didn't have cute doctors.
Damn.
I didn't even turn the TV on the whole time I was there. I just was like, just let me go home. Let me go home.
Did you read or like listen to music?
I didn't do anything.
Just laid there?
I laid there.
And thought? You were in your thoughts?
Well, they had me on a morphine drip Wednesday, Thursday, and most of Friday.
Mm.
So I couldn't even focus.
Yeah.
I was in and out of sleep the whole time.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, I was going to turn the TV on and I dropped the remote and nobody would answer me. So.
Jeez.
So I laid there some more and I went back to sleep. And then Saturday, they were like, you can go home.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that didn't sound fun at all.
No, no.
Can't even get a break there, huh?
No. No. I wish, but unfortunately.
Mm, lame.
Yeah. So, anyways, getting on with what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Those are both just like, huh.
Well, we had a lot to catch up on.
That's right. I know I told Stephanie when she walked in, I'm like, I don't even know when the last time I saw you. It's been over a month.
It has, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been crazy.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that you are done with that part of your surgery.
Yes.
And we'll get through the next part of it.
We are. Yeah.
And fortunately, we have a little app called Disney Plus that can keep us entertained.
Yes, we do. I got up the day that Disney Plus went live. I got up at 1 in the morning to download the app onto my TV and make sure I could sign in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to watch The Mandalorian right here and now. And I'm like, no, I got a lot of stuff I got to do at work today. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I got to go back to bed. But I signed in. I made my profile. I changed my profile picture. I'm like, we're ready.
Can I just tell you that when everybody was talking about the app coming out, like, they, even you told me, like, it's the whole catalog. Like, it's Disney everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're taking all the stuff off of Netflix and they're going to move it to this app and, like, whatever. Like, I just didn't get it. I was like, okay, fine. Like, what? I don't understand what the big deal is. So then you sent me the app info and I was like, okay, I guess I'll like look at it, whatever. I mean, I'm interested in seeing The Mandalorian, so that's one thing that's totally attracting me to the mm-hmm. app, right? I log into the app and see everything that they have, and I was like, why didn't anybody tell me about this? Right. I just didn't get it until I saw it.
It's amazing how much Disney has that you didn't think that Disney had.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I know that they were saying, like, the whole catalog or whatever, so I assumed that maybe that just meant, you know, Cinderella and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty would be available now, but, like, no, things that I watched as a little kid mm-hmm. are now available on the app.
Right. Movies that you hadn't seen in forever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it blew me away. My brother, I let him sign in with under my name, and he's like, well, I'll probably watch The Mandalorian, and that's it. And he's scrolling, and he's like, holy shit, Bedknobs and Broomsticks is on here. And I'm like, yeah. And my other brother, it made me laugh so hard, it's when he signed up for it himself, and he's like, well, I've already downloaded a couple of movies so I can watch them at work on my break. And I'm like, oh, what'd you download? And I'm thinking, what have you downloaded? He's like, I downloaded 101 Dalmatians, Lady and the Tramp, and The Sandlot. I'm like, all right then. You do that, dude.
You go. Like, I think as maybe, like, kids who have the app will log in and they'll be like, oh, this is cool. Like, their excitement cannot compare to all of us, like, our adults.
I think adults are just like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. There's so much when you're growing up and it was the Sunday night Disney
Sunday night movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's on there. And you're like, I forgot about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot about the original Escape from Witch Mountain, which was so good. Mm-hmm. So I watched that. Mm-hmm. And the older movies that The Ugly Dachshund. I'm like, hey, I love that movie and That Darn Cat and the original Freaky Friday.
Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to look and see what else was on there, because I keep doing this. I'm like, wait, is this available? Is that available? So far, I found out that The Mighty Ducks is available,
mm-hmm.
but Angels in the Outfield is not available.
They have a whole bunch that are supposed to be moving there. I thought it was in like February or March, because there was something Cool Running.
Oh, yeah.
Is not available yet, but it's coming. So all it is, when you click on it, it shows the trailer for the movie.
Yeah. So like, I see the Witch Mountain movies, but like, I don't see Thomasina. And there was something else. Oh, I was looking for the Ewoks movies. They don't have Return to Endor or any of those.
Not yet. I know. I'm like, go ahead and just put the stupid holiday show on so we can all watch the holiday show in its horrible glory.
But they do have the 90s X-Men cartoon, which made me flip out.
And Gargoyles.
Yes, Gargoyles.
I have been watching Gargoyles.
One of my brothers texted me and he was like, hey sis, guess what's on the Disney Plus app? And I was like expecting him to say, I don't know, like, you know, Pinocchio or something, whatever. And he goes, they have Fuzz Bucket. And I started crying. I literally was in my car, like, I had to stop, and, like, I was, like, tears dripping, like, I'm ruining my makeup because this movie that we used to watch as kids and we recorded on a VHS is available on the app. I was like, oh my god. We had a VHS, and it had Fuzz Bucket recorded on it, and it also had Mr. Boogity, and that's available too. So my brothers and I are, like, 30-something, and we're all, like, freaking the hell out about this app.
I know. I turn it on every night, and I'm like, let me see what else I can watch tonight.
Yeah.
I've watched Robin Hood a lot. I'm not going to deny that is my favorite Disney cartoon.
Did you want Robin Hood the Fox to be your boyfriend or something?
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I laugh at so, because I'm like, oh, that's so shameful to admit. And then so many people are like, that Fox's voice. And I'm like, right? That Fox's voice.
Hey, that's what it is.
That's right. I don't care.
He's kind of a rogue, so it makes sense why you would have a crush on him.
Exactly.
And then also, like, my cartoon boyfriend is definitely Gambit from X-Men, so I can relate.
Yeah. So, yep, I've watched a lot. Have you watched the Jeff Goldblum?
No.
According to Jeff Goldblum?
No.
He's such a bizarre man. I mean, when we met know him, that. When we met him, he was bizarre, but he was such a bizarre man, but he's so fascinating, and his, I think there's 5 of them, because I think they're coming out week by week, like, they're doing their shows.
Oh.
But he did barbecue for the one for this week, and he's just like, he's just curious about barbecue, so let's go find out about barbecue. But he's like, we have to find something that's not killing cows and pigs for barbecue. So he's eating crickets.
What?
And I'm watching that, and well, it's crickets and larvae, however you say it.
Wait, why is that better than cows or pigs?
Because there's so many crickets. And I guess, I don't know, when the freaking world ends and all the bugs come, I don't know.
The locusts?
The locusts, thank you. When they all come, we can just catch them all, put them in this barbecue and eat them.
Okay, good to know.
Yes, but it goes through the whole steps. He goes to this place, I can't think of the company's name, but they raise them from little larvae into, there's an incubator room, and then there's a room when they're all just these little babies, and they're just shaking them up to make sure they're still all alive. And I guess they freeze them at that point. Once they hit a certain age, they freeze them.
Huh.
So then the guy's out there, and he's mixing them with all kinds of rubs and spices and cooking them up, and Jeff Goldblum's just eating them by the forkful, and I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Take that out of your mouth.
More reasons why I'm not going to survive the apocalypse.
No, I know. Me either. But yeah, he's interesting. It fascinated me to watch him.
Interesting.
Because he gets so excited about it.
Yeah.
And then he just starts going off on tangents. Things that pop into his mind, he starts talking, and the other person's just staring at him. Or he makes them all hug him in the end, and they're just kind of like,
Okay.
Well, here we go.
Wow, interesting. So I might put that on my list.
Yeah. He did sneakers, ice cream, which they went to that salt and straw, which I was always fascinated by, the salt and straw in California. But they put, like, lettuce in their ice cream, and they put all kinds of weird things and mix it up, and it's supposed to taste amazing.
I've been to salt and straw. I don't remember that. I think in Oregon.
Yeah, his was all kinds of plants and everything that he got in the forest in Oregon. So they called it Goldblum, but yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might watch that. Maybe.
Yes. Even if you just watch the first one, you're just like, all right then.
Validates that who he was at Comic-Con is who he is in real life.
That's it, exactly. He is that eccentric. Yeah. That's the only other series I've watched besides The Mandalorian. And I can't get enough of The Mandalorian.
Same.
I have to watch it twice each time, because the first time I'm so busy, and here we go with the spoilers, yelling over Baby Yoda, and oh my god, look at Baby Yoda, that I can't pay attention to the rest.
Every time Baby Yoda's on the screen, I'm like, can we just have Baby Yoda?
I would be so happy if we just had the whole show just Baby Yoda doing something. I am just like, that little guy.
He's so freaking cute.
Just let me love him.
Yeah. Can we have like 24-hour...
Baby Yoda stream?
Yeah.
Yes. And when he's playing with all the buttons in his ship. And they've done all those videos, music remakes, and every time he pokes it, his music comes on. I'll watch every single one of those. I will watch every meme that somebody makes of those, mm-hmm. and I'll be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Give me all the Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Like, whoever thought of Baby Yoda, I don't know if that was Jon Favreau or if that was, like, from any of the works of Star Wars that have come out, but I'm just like, whoever thought of Baby Yoda, like, brilliant. Brilliant.
Exactly. I mean, the show is so good. It is so good. Regardless of the Baby Yoda.
Sure.
But the Baby Yoda, I'm just like, guys. My non-existent ovaries are like, boom. Give me the babies.
He just has such a cute little face, his big old eyes.
I know, he has those little tiny teeth mm-hmm. and those little tiny feet.
And also, like, the way that his robe is around his neck, it's like a little scarf or something. Uh-huh. So, I don't know, it's just so cute.
I know, his little onesie, I'm like, oh my gosh. I love this baby.
Right? And then he makes the little baby coos, and you're just
yeah.
like...
Yeah. My only problem I had is when he cried, and I'm like, I don't ever envision Yoda crying like a baby, but I just want him to talk.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want him to say something and see if he talks like Yoda did, or if they actually speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Yoda was just Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah, things that are keeping us up at night.
That's right.
Are we just calling him Baby Yoda because we don't know the name of his race?
I call him Steve sometimes. Because my brother's one that says, you know, well, it's not really Yoda. I know it's not Yoda. But we don't know what species Yoda was.
Exactly.
It looks just like Yoda.
Right.
So it's Yoda.
It's a baby Yoda.
That's right. Yoding.
There you go. That'll work. Yeah, I think in, like, I don't know, the second episode or something like that, when the baby is sort of, like, first experimenting with what is on the Mandalorian's ship,
mm-hmm.
The Mandalorian, like, reaches down and, like, grabs him by the scruff of his yes. robe and, like, puts him back in the little crib thing. And I was like, my heart is dying right now. Like, I just want him to cuddle the baby a little bit and, like, put him on his
Daddy,
lap.
Just hold your baby.
And then I think in, like, episode 3 or something, or 4 maybe, like, he finally gets sick of the baby, like, pressing all the buttons, so then he does put him in his lap,
yes.
and I was like, oh, my heart!
I know, I'm like, you're such a good daddy! When he tells him, stop touching things,
yeah.
And then little Yoda just stares at him and reaches out.
Pokes
and
I'm
like, yes! Little brat!
So freaking cute.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. I love every part of it.
Yeah. You can tell it's a Jon Favreau.
Mm-hmm.
I see so much Iron Man in the second episode.
Mm.
Like, this is very Iron Man.
Is he, like, writing every episode,
no,
do you know?
No. I can't think of who did episode 3. It was a female who did episode 3, and episode 4 was Bryce Dallas Howard.
Directed it. But
directed,
I think
oh, that's right.
John is, like, writing
so
most
he
of
may
them.
Have wrote.
Yeah. So, maybe. Like, good on him.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, hand claps.
Exactly. You did a good job, dude.
Good job, John.
Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Thank you for Baby Yoda. Your legacy is now set in stone because you gave us the Baby Yoda.
Exactly. And I don't know if he has... I know they were giving him a movie also, but I don't know if they just decided to do Mandalorian instead or if they were still giving him a movie.
Yeah. And I love that it's kind of like... that it's sort of like a space western
yes.
theme.
Yes.
And the... What is his name? Taika? The guy that's...
Taika Waititi?
Yeah.
That was IG, the IG in the first one.
Yeah.
He killed me. That killed me when he kept, now I'm going to self-destruct. No! I'm like, stop self-destructing, dude!
I was like, I love that they're bringing these, like, different actors or voice actors in mm-hmm. it. Like, it just makes it over-the-top good.
Yeah. And they brought my Jawas.
Mm-hmm.
So see I was all happy with the Jawas.
Jawas. The Jawa battle.
Yes. And their eggs. They want the eggs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Mandalorian doesn't like droids. I think that's my biggest problem.
Mm.
I'm like, stop insulting the droids, dude. R2's gonna hunt you down.
The episode 5 just came out, so I haven't watched it yet, but I was watching episode 4
mm-hmm.
A few days ago, and the female warrior, like, I am hoping that she's gonna continue.
I'm hoping she does, too.
She reminds me of, like, a video game, like, badass heroine in, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, Halo or something. Like,
yeah.
She's pretty cool.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. Ming-Na Wen is in episode 5.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't go into the whole episode, but I didn't like the episode as much.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
So.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. So we won't spoil that one then.
It was a little, it was a little rocky from the other episodes. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. So I'll be prepared.
Yes. it was still good, but it wasn't. I think you can tell that after having two episodes where a woman directed and the way they told the story, that it's back to a man.
Oh, really?
And it's a male perspective on things.
Uh-huh.
I think you can really tell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Yes.
Well, the plus side is that we're going to get more episodes leading up to The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they'll be tied in any way at the end of the day, but, like, this is just such a good time to be a Star Wars fan.
It is. My only concern is The Mandalorian is 8 years after Return of the Jedi is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Baby Yoda was born the same year as Anakin.
Okay.
If they send Baby Yoda to Luke Skywalker to train, and I find out Kylo Ren killed Baby Yoda.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be a hot, hot, angry person.
We better start that petition now.
That's right.
Don't kill Baby Yoda.
I better not find out that you killed Baby Yoda.
There will be hell to pay.
That's right.
I don't know how you burn it now, but I will burn it.
That's right. To the ground. I've had to mute everything Star Wars, so.
Is it starting to get overload, or?
Yeah. It's like, it feels that every couple of days there's new trailers coming out, or new TV spots that's showing more and more.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm ready to not know anything else going in.
Mm.
I don't want to know anything, so.
I think I saw on, was it Instagram or Twitter? Daisy had posted this thing about how she was like at the airport and there was like a vid screen of Rey with her lightsaber. And it was just like, I don't know, part of something for like leading up to the movie, but it was like unique to the airport. And I saw it at Heathrow, like
oh,
in person.
Awesome.
I was like, oh, wait, it's real, it's here. And it's like, cool, it's just like a white screen. And then she's sort of like standing there with her lightsaber, like looking like a badass.
That's amazing.
I was like, can you imagine if like that was you like promoting something, like you saw yourself looking like a total badass in the airport?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be jumping up and down and screaming like a fool.
For real, that's so cool. Well, the countdown is on.
It is, I am so ready.
Me too.
Yeah, it's I'm going on the 19th, the night for the fan event with my dad, my brother, and my niece. So I'm gonna cry. Not have to cry in front of them, but I don't care.
Yeah.
They'll just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And then we have Geek Girl Brunch that Saturday, the 21st.
Yep, Geek Girl Brunch Phoenix is gonna go see it.
And
together.
At the Alamo. Mm-hmm. There are still seats available, Phoenix ladies.
If you want to come join us.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be like a lot of tears that weekend.
I know. Oh my gosh.
But we will not spoil it.
Maybe.
We will not spoil it in public.
No, we will not.
I remember leaving the last movie and I think I was like walking out of the theater and I was like, I just need a minute. Like I need to think. I need a minute of alone time and I need to think about what I just saw.
I know. I know, walking out, it's like, Luke Skywalker just died, and I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I'm really not okay with that yet.
Check on your friends that saw Star Wars, we're not okay.
That's right. And like, I lost Han Solo in the first one, Luke in the second, we already know
mm-hmm.
Carrie probably won't be in, so Leia won't be in too much.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping they don't kill her, but I'm not going to be surprised.
Right.
If they do.
Yeah. It's the end of the old guard.
That's right. I'm not okay with that, guys. I'm not okay. I'm not okay with no more Han Solo.
Specifically.
I know, and then when C-3PO in that commercial says, I'm taking one last look at my friends, and then I start crying, and I'm like, you cannot kill C-3PO. Oh my god, what is wrong with you people?
You know, I don't really care
even
about
like him.
Yeah.
I don't like him, but I still cried. I was just like, what are you doing? R2 is not going to have his friend anymore.
Oh, that's a good point. For R2's sake.
R2's going to be sad.
Yeah. We're so invested.
I am. 100%. I'm like, oh my god.
I love it.
Have you seen Frozen 2 yet?
No.
I went to see Frozen 2 with my family last weekend. I don't think the music is as strong, but I think the story was so much better into.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I cried through that too.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
I cried through a lot of things, but I did cry. And I then went home and I said, I have added a water horse and a magic fire lizard to my want list. So
okay,
I need them both really badly.
All right. So I guess so I need to watch that.
Figure that out
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm. And a baby Yoda.
And a baby Yoda.
Sure.
I have a huge want list. So,
yeah. Yeah. I understand.
It grows daily.
All right. So I'm going to have to put Frozen 2 on my list then.
Yes. It was good. I was shocked.
Oh, so when I flew to London, mm-hmm. As soon as I got on the airplane, I was like, okay, I'm going to live like I'm on London time right now, even though there's like this big time difference. And then on the way home, I did the same thing. I was like, all right, I'm on the plane. I'm going to pretend like it's Phoenix time and like I need to get on the Phoenix time schedule. So the flight left like later in the day London time, but that meant it was like early morning Phoenix time. So I refused to fall asleep. I was like, I'm not gonna sleep on this flight. I'm gonna stay awake for the entire 11 hours and I'm just gonna like watch movies or like listen to music or something. I watched like 5 movies.
Oh my gosh.
On the flight home.
I would fall asleep.
I saw Stuber, which was not that good. I saw Blinded by the Light, which I thought was kind of good. Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah.
I saw Booksmart, which I love. That was really good.
Yeah, you asked me if I've seen that one.
Yeah, highly recommend. I was that annoying girl on the plane that like all of the lights are off and people are trying to sleep and then I'm giggling in my plane seat.
Yeah.
What else did I see? There was, I finally got around to watching The Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Loved it. It's like, okay, I need to go watch Crimes of Grindelwald now.
Yeah.
And then, what's that movie with Mark Wahlberg where he, Automatic Family or something like that, where he and his wife adopt 3 kids? Anyway, that was really good. I was like laughing through that whole thing too. So I was like that annoying person that was watching just like 11 hours of movies back to back.
Yeah, I would have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
I would have tried to catch up on my podcast probably because I haven't listened to any of them in 3 weeks now, 4 weeks.
So. Oh, yeah. I've had on podcasts too.
Yeah.
And I had actually downloaded for the plane. I wanted to watch, at that time, it was like the first 2 episodes, I think, of The Mandalorian that were available. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded them to the app, but then when I tried to watch them on the plane, they weren't working for some reason. Oh. So I had to wait until I got back to AZ.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It happens.
It does.
Since I haven't seen you, I've been hoarding songs to make you listen to.
Oh boy.
There's at least 4 that I want you to hear. Okay, let's see. This is The Wire by Haim.
Okay.
2012. I like her voice. Just so I can say that I know that you're gonna be okay anyway. You know there's no rhyme or reason for the way you turn out to be. I didn't go and try to change my mind intentionally. I know it's hard to hear you say it, but I can't bear to stay. I just know that you're gonna be okay anyway. Okay, that's
like
one
that
of them.
One.
This one you might have heard. I don't know if you're a Pink fan.
I love Pink.
This one just recently came out. Even if you see my scars, have you heard this one yet?
If uh-huh. I break your
heart, if we're a million miles apart, this is Love Me Anyway. Because it also features Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
So it's got like a country vibe, and uh-huh. his voice is like growly, sexy. If I can skip ahead. Let's see. I love his voice,
yeah.
Can you love me anyway? That one's been on major repeat.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Okay, and then this one I think you'll recognize, but it's by a different band.
Okay.
And it's been around for a while, but it came out in 2017.
Okay.
Recognize it. This is Theory of a Dead Man. I don't know how I stumbled on this, but I was like,
I like this version too.
Better than, was this Chris Isaac or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so these have been my new songs.
To remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they're well done.
Yeah.
Or they have, like, a interesting vibe or, like, maybe, like, a cool voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite remake is 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Romance.
Oh, yeah.
You heard that?
Yes. That's a good one.
And, like, I'm not a huge fan of Jared Leto, but...
You're down for that song?
Down for that song. And the growly voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agree.
All right. So, what are you geeking out about this week?
I am... kind of just geeking out about seeing The Cursed Child still.
I can imagine. I can imagine. My friend Kim in New York, I think I don't know if she was seeing it again today or not. I thought so, but it was like viewing number 10 of it in New York. And she's like, I just can't get enough.
Yeah, it's just so well done. And again, like the Dementors and the Time Turner blew my mind. I think, I don't know, like I wish that you could have been there so that you would understand what I'm saying with like the Time Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Like to hear the bass beat and then to watch the stage ripple like that, it's like I don't know how they're doing this, but I love it. Like,
it's
I love
amazing.
It.
Yeah.
What are you geeking out about?
I have two of them. Season 5 of Fuller House dropped.
Oh, that's right.
So I binged that sucker.
Already?
Already.
Damn it, yesterday, I need to catch up on that.
Yesterday I binged it all, and then I thought it was the last season, but it ends with the cliffhanger.
I thought it was the last season too.
And it says to be continued. So I don't know if maybe there's a couple more episodes they're going to do.
Oh.
There's 9. I don't know if they're going to do 12.
Hmm.
Or if they'll do a movie to end it. But
okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to change my answer about what I'm geeking out about then.
All right, what are you geeking out about?
I'm geeking out about the chance to watch Fuller House.
Yeah, last night I said, I'm not going to watch it all. Then I did. I sat there and watched every one of them. Yes, I did.
When we were decorating the Christmas tree when we got back from our trip, my brother was like, yeah, I don't even know, like, who's even watching Fuller House? And I was like, I am. Shut your mouth.
That's right. I watched it. I liked it. I love that. And I've been reading a lot of books. So I just finished Woman on the Edge by Samantha Bailey. And I thought I had the whole book figured out. So I was I was into it.
Yeah.
It's she did a great story. And I thought I had it all figured out. So I kind of was just like,
whatever.
As it's going along, I'm into it. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I already know what happened.
Yeah.
I already know what the story's going to be in the end. And it was a complete shock when it all comes out.
Oh, really?
But it was so good. It's a woman standing, waiting for for the train, and another woman comes up with a baby, shoves the baby into her arms, and then jumps off the platform and gets hit by a train.
Mm.
So, and then it's everything unfolds how they knew each other. One of the woman who committed suicide knew the woman she gave the baby to, but the woman she gave the baby to had no clue.
Oh, completely interesting.
Clueless.
Hmm. So that blew your mind?
Blew my mind. It was so good, though.
That's awesome.
So good.
Great.
Yeah. So where are you at on your book so I can read that one?
Well, I am now at like 100,000 words.
Good.
I'm on the last chapter writing it.
Cliffhanger.
So that was like the part that I was deciding on, because I was like, do I end it with this chapter or do I take it into like 1 to 2 more chapters? Like, do I end it before the next big like action scene is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I go through the action scene and end it right then and leave book 3 to like pick up after? I don't think that I can like go into all the action yet. So I'm going to have to end it like right before, where it's like that sort of like sense of like impending ending action is about to happen. That's going to end book two. So at this point, like, I just really need to finish this last chapter, build up to that last moment where you know something's going to happen. And then I need to just edit it, format it, and put it on Amazon. Nice.
Have you started picking out covers yet?
I haven't. I was thinking about doing that, and then I was like, Steph, you still don't even know what you're calling this book.
Yeah, that would be good to have a name.
Yeah, it's like The Merry Maids Book 2 is not going to work. Like, no, I want to.
I am sorry.
So I've been like tossing some ideas around. I think I have it narrowed down, which is good. But also I need to think about, like, once I have everything together, the size of the book is going to impact the cover, like the actual formatting of the cover.
Right.
So I'm just waiting a little bit until I format it, and then I'll get the cover created.
Nice.
But yeah, I kind of missed my deadline of trying to get it up by Cyber Monday.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I totally have time to write in London.
No, you won't.
No.
On vacation, girl.
It didn't happen. Like, I did a little bit of writing, but it was like maybe one of the nights, and that was it for like an hour.
I told myself I was going to do NaNoWriMo this month.
Yeah.
In November.
Yeah.
And I was at my parents' house the whole time, and I don't like writing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, when we go to my house to pick up something one day, I'll just pick up my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
That'll work. Nope.
Nope.
Did not do it.
Well, this is like my other issue is I feel like just because I've been embedded in creating this story for so long, like, book three is sort of like on the horizon, but a couple of chapters ago that I was writing, all of a sudden, like, I got a story idea for like a whole new series, and so that's been like an annoying distraction because I'm like, no, I need to finish book two. Like,
did
don't
you
get distracted.
Down your ideas for me so you don't forget?
I did, yeah. So like, it's kind of there hovering, but also like, I've got other stories that are started and they're sort of like sitting on my hard drive, like, hey, when are you gonna get back to us?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to just like power through this last chapter and get it where I like really want it and am excited about it. And then once it's like released and everything, I'm gonna have to figure out, like, okay, do I jump to book three or do I start chasing some of these other story ideas that I've had?
Yeah.
It's just a tease that way. It's how my brain works. It can't just like stay focused on one thing forever.
No, I'm that same way. I jump all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, where the story is, because it's not necessarily like a cliffhanger, but I think it is going to lead into like a really interesting part of the story. Like, I think once I have a chance to go back through it and make sure that it is in the format that I want it to be in and like it's solid, then I'm going to be pretty excited about when it's time to start putting it up. I had this like brief thought that maybe I would just go back for Cyber Monday and format and publish Untested, which is one that I had, the first one that I actually published online. So I'm like going through it and formatting it and like rereading it, and I was like, dear God, this story sucks.
Oh no.
I was like, Untested is not like at the level The Merry Maids is. So if I'm gonna go through and actually like publish it on Amazon, then I'm gonna have to like do a lot of editing and rewrite. So I think like I was like, you know what, just stay focused on The Merry Maids, power through it, like knock it out, be proud of it, and then just keep going from there.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
I know how it goes. Yep.
Yeah. So maybe you'll get The Merry Maids 2 for Christmas.
Hey. Right. Yes.
All right. So I think we've done a lot of geeking out today.
We have.
So that's pretty much it. As they say, the end.
And they lived happily ever after. Bye.
Bye.